A steep rise in First Rand's half-year credit impairment charge has led to a 21% slide in the group's interim normalized earnings. Despite this, an interim dividend of just over 1 Rand has been declared after the final payout was withheld last year, signaling the group's cautious optimism about an economic recovery. Company CEO Alan Pullinger joins us on the line now. Thanks so much, Alan, for your time this evening. So First Rand's profit decline coming in at the bottom end of your forecast range. And of course, we are comparing profoundly different operating environments here, but you also say that it's reflecting a speed and level of recovery in earnings that has exceeded initial expectations. How much better a recovery are we potentially looking at?
Hi, Alicia. Yeah, that's right. I think you're right when you look at it compared to the pre-pandemic base. So understandably, everything is down. But when we look at it on a rolling six-month basis, there's a very strong recovery that has come through, from our June year end, which we presented then in September. If you look at the performance from then to now, there's a very sharp turnaround in these 6 months, essentially driven from credit, so a much lower credit charge. And I have to say the expectations that we had for how our portfolios would behave through this pandemic, And how non-performing loans would manifest. I think all of that is probably turning out better than we anticipated. So for us, we're feeling good. Of course, we're still in the midst of the pandemic, and we are cautioning, around getting too carried away with our results running up to our year end in June. You know, we do think there are a couple of risk events out there. You know, one would be, of course, the full effects of this adjusted level 3 lockdown is probably yet to manifest. So we saw it in the January data numbers, and they were all down, reflecting that lockdown. We've seen some normalization, of course, now, but again, that's had an impact, and we would expect it to manifest in credit portfolios. Then I suppose, it's not great to talk about it, but there's a likelihood, I suppose, of a third wave here in South Africa. And that may come as we start sort of working our way into winter. So that's kind of, if our year ends is 30 June, that's kind of all ahead of us. And the vaccine story, I do think from a scientific perspective, we're in a great spot. I think we're getting brilliant advice.
Amidst it all, transactional volumes, of course, were expected to increase, right, as the lockdown restrictions ease. But you also talk now about growth in deposits. You talk about an improved credit experience. So what do we extrapolate from that to get a better read of the financial health of the customers that do sit on your books?
Yeah, I think if we stand back and think about what's happened in South Africa, I think there has been across the country a lower demand for credit. I think there's been a propensity to save. And understandably, all of that data, it points to that March 2020 sort of level 5 lockdown, which was such a shock to the system. And so I think the conversations around the breakfast table at many families, this question of should we go out and spend, or should we get into a savings mode? I think that's really played out. So I do think the average state of household balance sheets has improved over this period. I think people have been a lot more cautious with spending. I think they've built precautionary savings balances. You've seen it in all of the deposit growth that's happened in the banking sector. So I guess we are, as a society, learning to live with COVID-19. And I there are certainly some positive signs that slowly but surely the economy is going to get back.
We can't ignore that over this period you placed focus on assisting customers when it comes to managing their existing debt and load, rather than pursue new balance sheet growth. So how much of a handle did that give you on NPLs, and do you see that actually being maintained?
Yeah, I guess with that backdrop of a lower propensity to borrow, more focus on savings. We played into that. We had themes of money management. We particularly targeted savings. And then we felt, we've got in, our customers have already got a large debt load. Let's kind of work with customers. Let's try and get as many of our customers through this so we can try and manage that NPL story. That took a lot of focus. And we definitely did that at the expense of let's go out there and try and chase credit. For us, We didn't think there was a big credit story to play into. We do think it'll start showing itself. We do think customers will, confidence will lift. They'll start increasing their appetite for credit. But we have to, you know, we really felt in the midst of this, this is not the time to be pushing credit down the throats of customers.
Yeah. As you managed that, Alan, your normalized ROE reduced from 21.2% to 15.6% now, most of the decline due to the elevated credit impairment charge, a materially lower endowment given the policy or interest rate cuts we've seen over the period, and then lower levels of transactional activity and credit origination as well. So how quick a recovery are you anticipating on that end? What levels and how soon?
Yeah, I mean, I guess we've been cautious up to our year end in June. You know, we spoke about some of the risk events that still lie out there. But we have said consistently we're going to be much more constructive on sustainable growth once we start our 21-22 year, which is from July onwards. I think there, you know, we really have then a much lower base to work from. I think we're going to be playing much more strongly into an economy that is getting going, and I think confidence will be back. You know, we would start to see vaccines in arms. That's going to change the psyche of people. People are going to feel a little bit more confident. They're going to get out there. So I think these things are starting to line up for us. But we would caution the next 4 or 5 months are still probably quite difficult.
Yeah, well, let's leave it there. Alan, thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. That, of course, First Rand CEO, Alan Pullinger.